What's going on, you guys? Welcome to Saints in the City, episode 3. We're so excited because
it's bright.
We have a lot going on, but we are so blessed because we got the opportunity to interview Andy Isabella.
Good man.
He is an NFL player, wide receiver.
Good man.
Played for the Bills, played for the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. Right now he's in the UFL.
He's in the UFL, yes. Plays for the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Hey, and he is just such a sweet and down-to-earth guy. Truly invested in his faith, talks a lot about it, and is unapologetic with it. But he's just also really funny, and he shared a lot of insight. And I had a lot of questions, especially with an 8-year-old who is starting football.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but it was amazing, so...
The guy is fast. He's fast.
All right, so I kind of said my husband is Uncle Rico. If you haven't watched Napoleon Dynamite, I don't know what to think of you right now. But if you have watched it, he's Uncle Rico.
You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. In a heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and...
No, but you kind of live vicariously through these.
I do.
NFL players or any type of athlete.
I do. And my son.
Your poor son.
I just don't want it to go to waste. You know, you have so much potential.
But it was just really cool to like hear how he deals with his fears and his faith and humility, especially in professional sports. There's a lot of humbling that goes on there, and how you handle it and how you deal with it is a whole other ball game. Yeah. And so he kind of breaks down what he does, and he's hit some highs and lows and highs again. And he's just a really cool guy. So
great guy. Glad that we got a chance to sit with him.
Yeah. Awesome. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Andy Isabella. Yeah.
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Anything else?
You guys, if you're just listening on the podcast and you don't see exactly what's happening, I do apologize because a lot of this is visual.
Yes.
To get the full effect.
Yes. It could be a blessing for some not to see me visually.
Welcome to Saints in the City. This is our show that we really love to talk to people, especially about their faith and athletes and kind of where you are in the process of all that. And we kind of did a background on you. You're impressive.
Yeah, very.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my faith has been a big part of that. I mean, my mom raised me with great faith. So shout out to my mom for sure. We were raised Catholic. Yeah. But as I got in the football world, most of the stuff that I did was with Christian groups, and a lot of Christianity was promoted. So I guess I would say a Christian Catholic.
Okay.
I still like going to Catholic mass, but my faith was carried me throughout my life. So shout out to my mom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of athletes that are like coming out and saying, you know, after games, they're like, you know,
give all glory to God.
Give all glory to God. And that's like, do you feel like that, like for yourself, you're seeing a lot more of that? Like it's a movement, it's like happening more and more.
Yeah, and I love it. I think for a lot of athletes, I think you have to have some sort of faith because every day as an athlete, you're challenged. You're gonna like today, we're down in Dallas and we're working outside. There was a tornado warning and it's like 60 mile per hour winds and we're practicing and things aren't always going the right way, so it's like you got to have faith that even with all these circumstances that you can't control, that it's going to work out the best for you. And that's not just for the weather, that's for, I mean, guys get cut, you lose your career, you have to go somewhere else. I see a lot of guys that don't maybe have a strong faith get discouraged too soon and give up, where I think what separated me and having a playing for 5.5 years in the NFL, now getting to play in the UFL, was having that faith that even when things went bad, I was still able to persevere and know that, you know, God has great plans for me, and not to just give up and just continue to fight forward and trust my heart and see wherever it goes. So that's been a
that's awesome, man.
Like, so I want to kind of expand on that. Just like, also, how has your faith humbled you? You know, sometimes we talk about how faith, like, you know, you win championships or you get drafted, you get all these things. Well, have there been times where it's actually humbled you, where you're like, why? But it's, you know, it proved to be something better in the long run, but it humbled you in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think well, I'll start with my professional. Well, I guess I'll go to my high school career. I go all the way back to high
Okay.
school.
I was gonna ask you about that.
When I was younger, I really wanted to play for a big Division One school like Ohio State or Michigan or somewhere where like was a big program. But after my senior season, I only had one offer to the Air Force Academy, and I got really discouraged. Like, man, I'm not gonna do my goal. Should I even play football? Because I wasn't sure if I want to do the whole military thing. And that was a humbling experience. But I say when people get stuck in life or whatever, they just do something, try something new, go where your heart's calling you. And I got called to run track for indoor track for some reason. So I'm just running and having fun,
That's fun.
not really thinking. I think football might be done for me, but I ran a fast time in track. And 4 days before the signing day, I got signed by the University of Massachusetts based
That's
off my track
amazing.
time.
Okay.
So I think like you'll be I've been humbled many times throughout my career,
For sure.
and a lot of it's just, all right, I need to reconnect with my faith and reconnect with God to hear where he's calling me to go and what he's calling me to do. And I think that is a wise thing to do, because God is going to guide you, I think, in the right direction. And I think a lot of people maybe have anxiety and stuff, but it's just because maybe they don't have that vision. And I feel like you reconnect to God, that God will give you that vision and help you make a plan in order to get there.
I love that.
Well, where's that faith come from? It's like I always ask people this question too. It's like how do you hear God's voice? Like, what makes you so sure? People ask me that too. It's like where does it come from for you? Like, why, and how do you hear God? And do you hear like it's a clear message, clear voice, or is it like a feeling? It's almost like a telepathic feeling, you
Do
know
you
what I
see
mean? Is
something like for
it
me? I get like 3-3-3 in a row all the time, like little things like
She always
that.
sees
Yeah,
numbers
it's
or like.
weird. So I mean, I don't know if there's something that's clear if you're on the football field or you hear something or a song comes on, like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always been my intuition, and I think the only way you have that intuition is if you connect with God and you learn how to connect with God. That's the only way you're going to get that intuition. And then it's just trusting it, trusting that your intuition is right. And I guess going back to that story of when I got caught, so I was almost going to go to a Division AA school, but I didn't want to. So I didn't it wasn't in my heart, but they're like, we're going to pull the scholarship. And then my parents were like, well, no, you got to go to college somewhere, and we're not gonna have money to pay for it. So you have to take this school. And I knew I didn't want to take it, so I kind of told them that I was gonna take it. And then they called my dad. I didn't tell my dad. And then they're like, oh, he's not coming there. Then I had no offer, and I thought I was done. But then when UMass called me on the phone, I had this kind of jolt of energy almost. I tell the people I was in the gym working out, and the head coach Mark Whipple called me and offered me the scholarship. And I remember it was at the end of the workout, but I had gained so much energy from that experience that I just started doing I did like 20 pull-ups in a row.
That's
And it
what's
was just
up.
like that deep knowing, like just a knowing that you're on the right path. And I think it's just when you learn how to connect with God and pray and trying to listen for that voice and don't give up, just keep trying to hear it. Don't just do it one time and expect to hear something, but and look for little things in your life that's showing you that you're on the right path, and try to connect with God. I think a lot of us are a little disconnected
For
from
sure.
our source, just from all the. I mean, 20 years ago there was no cell phone. I mean, I didn't have a iPhone until I was in college. So, but even now there's so much information thrown at us that sometimes we get disconnected, and I think we could all take a moment to reconnect
Center.
sometimes.
Yeah, 100%,
So
man.
what made you like, I just kind of about your history too, like in the NFL, like what made you go to the combine and what drove you like that? We watch the combines all the we love. I'm gonna tell you right now, I
Dude,
wish
you're
I could be an NFL player. If I could play football,
Yeah, we're
he's Uncle
obsessed.
Rico from Napoleon
I
Dynamite.
could have won
He's
steak.
like he's throwing steaks at kids on the bikes.
Dude,
Or a little.
you ran a 4.31. Is that correct? You were like the third fastest time.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
impressive.
that helped me get drafted. That was my claim to fame there.
That's amazing, man.
That's amazing. I know, and you were in Arizona. We moved from New York to Arizona, what, like 4 years ago. So, but what was that like? And we won't keep you too long. I won't have
Oh,
you.
no.
Okay. So what was that like being in that moment? I mean, I always say like you have all eyes on you. I mean, you have people like us at home watching you guys, and we have no say in how you guys get drafted or what have you, but we see the coaches and the amount of pressure that falls on you guys in those moments, that transition period from college to the NFL. What is going through your mind in those moments, and you're with all your competition that you played against all those years in college?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of there's a lot of nerves, and I think maybe people get a little twisted because they see these are us on TV all the time. They think we have it all together, we know it all, but no, we get nervous and we get uptight, just like everyone else. But I think what we need to stress is that's normal to feel that way. But it's having the faith that even though I feel this way, I'm still going to go out there and perform because I know God's plan for me. I keep saying that I trust God's plan for me. And even if I feel a little nervous, I could connect with God and I could trust God that He's going to provide for me and do everything with what I need. And even if it doesn't work out the way I exactly envisioned it, there's still going to be something that's going to come from it that I could learn from or something that I could take from it. So at the combine, I was super nervous because I went to UMass. It was a small Division I school. So a lot of these kids at the combine were Ohio State or LSU, those schools that I dreamed of playing for, and I kind of almost felt almost like a little bit of a imposter a little, but I knew God put me there for a reason to inspire other people and this is where I was supposed to be, and even if I was maybe a little bit of an underdog, to use that and trust God and just do my best, and that would be enough.
And you
Use the
did.
gift gave me. So
Yeah,
yeah, it all
100%.
worked
You
out right.
did, yeah. That's amazing.
And you were running back before, and then you transitioned to a wide
Wide
receiver.
receiver. What's that like?
Yeah,
Yeah, like
that was
why'd you make
that's another
what
thing.
brought on that change, or like what was the was it
That's
like a
another thing.
coach that
Just
was like, hey, I
trusting
think
God.
maybe you
You're
would be
really
great
fast. You can get down the
Well,
field.
I'll tell this little story here. So when I got to UMass as I was a running back, like you said, and but I was probably like the 12th string on the roster. And I had one of my best friends now. He was like 6'2", 215 pounds, ran a 4.3, and I'm like 5'8", 180 pounds. And I was like, I don't know if I'll ever play this position. And I was just struggling a little. But then I went to the scout team. So they put me on the scout team my freshman year for training camp. And they needed a guy to play receiver because they didn't have all the receivers were hurt. And I wasn't really getting any reps at running back on the scout team. So I was like, you know, I'll go out there, just being available and being aware of opportunities that are out there. I think a lot of people could learn from that. Just because one door is kind of closed, there's other doors that are open if you're just aware and allow God to put you in those spots. But you have to be aware of those opportunities. And I did that. I started doing well on the scout team. Then by week four, I got to play my first college football game at Notre Dame. I got crushed, but I learned from it. And then time I was a sophomore, I had worked my way up to starting receiver by the time it was the third game. But
That's
it
amazing.
was quite the journey. It took me a whole year and a hard summer of training to get to that sophomore season where I was a running back to the 10th string receiver to the starting receiver.
That's
But
amazing.
you could do it. Anyone could do it with the right mindset and the right plan. I always do this. I always like to make plans, and they're not always the best, but I'm able to adjust those plans. And I think having a plan of and having a goal of where you want to go, a vision of where you want to go, is huge. I know it in the Bible. It says, "Where there is no vision, I think it's there's no hope." And or there's some verse like that. I'll have to get it correct. But where there's no vision, there's no hope. And I think everyone can have a vision and then make a plan, and that will help them if they're kind of stuck or kind of trying to have anxiety or trying to figure out what to do in life. So,
That's amazing. And to kind of like, sorry, I'm gonna cut you off.
it's all
But
good.
okay, because I'm a football fan. I love football. I'm a Seahawk
She
though.
does. She
I'm
does.
a
She
Seahawk.
Oh,
I'm a ride or die
okay.
scream till my throat is sore, Seahawk.
Okay.
But we were talking about like training And again, I mean, I won't keep you too long, but in terms of training, during the off season, we're big on fitness. We love, you know, is there a different type of training? A lot of, you know, the people that follow me, they look to us for that. And is there a difference in how you train in the off season for a wide receiver? Let me just give you back. Our 8-year-old is a wide receiver. At 8 years old, they had their championship game on Sunday. Go Beavers. But he's learning, and, you know, two questions. How do you train differently in the off season? Like, are you lifting different? Are you, as opposed to during the regular season? And two, what would you tell kids like our son's age or older, how to train for a wide receiver position? So what does he need to do? I will take notes as you tell me.
What I always learned was from guys above me. So I would always go on Instagram or okay. We didn't really have it, or YouTube, and I would look at kind of the, what are the top guys doing, and follow them. Is it like anything? Who are the best guys, and what are they doing? And
who's doing it?
And just trying as much as you can. But what I always was very consistent. I worked on my speed and ran a ton.
Okay.
And I trained consistently every day. Like, and it sounds, it never got boring, because I always had plans and I always had this vision. But there was times where I didn't want to train, but I went out there on those days that maybe everyone else was staying in, and I went out there and trained. And that will separate someone in the long run. If I'm doing something every day for 8 years and someone's doing something every other day, imagine how much more practice that I had than someone else had. But I would tell someone that's eight years old, you're on the right track, you're training. I wasn't even playing when I was 8 years old, so he's on the right.
We're psychotic. We're psychotic, parents know. I mean, I don't know if you know, like, especially here in Arizona, the competition at this age, like, I mean, he's our only child, so
yeah, it's crazy.
We're learning and watching the competition and how hard these kids are already training and what they're doing, and they're having specialty coaches training them at this age alone. So, I mean, we just do it ourselves besides like him on his teams, that the coaches on his team. So I was just like, if there's one thing as a wide receiver that we could go out into the park and say, just do these drills all day. Just, is it just my husband, Thorne?
I mean, I would take him to,
A mountain. Some agility stuff you'd be working on. Yeah. But what is a top like?
Yeah. What would you say?
I'll say, take him to A Mountain and have him run 10 sprints up there twice a week.
Okay.
Get your sprint game. I feel like the more athletic, I feel like what helped me a lot was I got a lot more athletic than everyone else. And that helped me in the long run. My speed was what got me I wasn't always the fastest kid. I was fast, but I wasn't the fastest. And, but I worked on it and got to be one of the fastest players. And that 4.31 is what got me drafted and kind of helped set me up for whatever I want to do later on in life. So that's cool. But everyone's I was just in San Diego and I was talking to a group of athletes that my trainer trains, a younger kids, probably like 8, 10, 15 years old kids. And I was telling them, I was like, I didn't have anything like this when I was younger. So I, like, you guys are on the right path. Like you guys are out here, they're training on a Sunday. And I was like, you guys are on the right path. Just now it's just consistency. Who's going to be consistent? Who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Over the years, because you could then, that's how you start separating yourself from everyone else. And I know you guys know that as well. I mean, in your professions probably as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So what you say in a nutshell is run our child ragged outside. And that works. And I like that. I will have him watch this so he can hear it from a professional athlete. And he can argue with us. No, I'm joking. And lastly, well, you wanted to ask something real quick.
Yeah, actually, like, I was actually curious, because like I'm a firefighter when I'm not helping Sarah, and just curious, like, you know, when as a Christian man, you know, being in the back of the truck, like, I sometimes feel this pressure to, like, I'm always trying to be, you know, do the right thing, say the right things, try not to use profanity, and like put this, you know, it just feels like pressure. I'm wondering if you feel that same way, like, when you're in the locker room and, you know, guys are doing certain things, like, what is it like, how do you combat that, you know, that pressure sometimes? And, or do you feel like there's enough guys around you that are real similar, and then you could kind of feel like, you know, that's not really an issue for you? Or is that something that you struggle with as well?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, especially in college, I struggle with it a lot because you have a lot of guys doing a lot of other stuff that maybe I didn't agree with, like going out partying and doing that stuff. And it's hard when you're all on kind of the same level and you're all trying to do something, and like it's like, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Well, like, what's wrong with you? And so I felt that pressure a lot, but at the end of the day, it's like, where do you want to go? And no offense to the guys that
No.
were my friends and teammates, but I think a lot of them probably regret what they did in college and probably look at me and like, wow, like what he was doing, it paid off for him. So I can't speak on them and have if they have regrets, but I didn't have any regrets because I did everything that I was supposed to do then. And do I fall short sometimes?
Of course.
Absolutely, but
We all
I'm
do.
very
Yeah, we all
quick.
do.
Absolutely. So the thing is, I'm very quick to change it. I don't. It's like, okay, I made a mistake, and let me ask for forgiveness if that's what I need, but let me get back on the path that God has set out for me. So absolutely, I struggle with it all the time, but it's like, all right. But I think if you, that's a lot have to do with, all right, what's my vision? What do I stand for? And then once I mean, when I was younger, it was like kind of hard because it's like, who am I? Like, what do I stand for? But as you get older, it's like, all right, this is who I am, and I don't really care about the opinions of others. But it did drag on me in college. But at the end of the day, I'm happy that I stayed true to a lot of my values because it paid off significantly for me in the long run. And I think if you ask some of my teammates, I'd be like, yeah, Andy was probably we thought he was a little weird, but at the it worked for him. It worked for
I
him, you
went through
know.
that,
So
yes.
yeah, man,
I mean, we
that's
say
awesome.
also maturity and getting older. I mean, I went that as a model and actress in New York, and he went through that in New York as well. And we just realized also with age, you mature and you stop caring so much. We just had Cardinal Timothy Dolan, His Eminence, on as our first guest, which was amazing. And he went through that and said that faith through the fear, that's the series that we're doing right now. And it's real, just kind of having that faith through all the obstacles. And we're not perfect. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
We're
far
so
from it.
fallible and just mess up
Yeah.
all the time. But last question, I would just love to get your opinion on before we head out. I want to ask you this one last question. Then I want to ask you, we're going to write on the board back here everybody's quote so people can see it in all of our shows. But would you? I don't know if you have children or not, but would you allow your kid to play tackle football? And that is a question that we talk to a lot of parents. Some that we're in flag right now, but they say it ends at flag football. We are not having our
Yeah, a lot
kid
of
play
parents worried
tackle.
about the brain, like brain damage and things like that.
So we're just wondering, what is your take on that? Because we're on the fence. He loves it, and I'm like, let's go, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah.
yeah. I mean, if you love it, I mean, it's like, it's, I think if you love something and like, I mean, Muhammad Ali, they asked him, I think when he was about to pass, if he regretted all the boxing because of what it did to him. And he's like, and he told him no, because the way he was able to inspire literally generations and generations to come. And so my kid wanted to play football and that was on his heart, I would absolutely let him do it because football changed my life. It's given me so much. It's helped me help so many people, and it's given so much to me and my family, and it's given us a lot of joy. So
That's
I'm happy
amazing.
that my dad let me play, and I wouldn't knock that opportunity if my son wanted to play that. So yeah.
That's amazing. Well, again, I thank you so much. And if there's something, a quote or something that we can write and autograph for you back here, I would love to add you to our board.
Absolutely, yeah.
If there's anything in
And
particular.
my quote that I've been living by is anything is possible if one believes, Mark 9:23. That's been my kind of life quote. And I kind of try to live by that. Anytime I get down, I try to say that to myself and just keep pushing forward and finding and creating the life that I want and creating a life and helping people along the way and keep trying to be an inspiration to others. So
That's
that's
amazing.
awesome,
Well,
man.
tell your mother she raised an amazing son, and thank you
Thank you,
for,
thank you.
that's a beautiful thing. And
Yeah, but we'll be rooting for you, man.
yeah, we're gonna we're
Thank you.
fans now, and we absolutely love you. And God bless. Thank you so much for joining
Yeah,
us.
man, thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I thank you for having me on. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Nice to
All
meet
right.
you, man.
All right, have a good night.
All right,
All
see
right,
you
you too,
too.
bro.
Bye.